to be a consistent witness, to open your mouth when you should, to not quench the Holy Spirit when He's prodding you. You know, you need to open your mouth. You need to say something. Appreciate that testimony. It's a good thing for us to be reminded of often. I've been thinking a lot about baptism lately. The last couple of few months, my actual blood brother was saved, and he's been attending the services faithfully at Cadillac. And a few Sundays ago, he came before the church and asked for baptism, and church voted to baptize him. And so, three Sundays ago now, he was baptized and into the church. So, been thinking a lot about baptism. What a blessing! You know, that's a blessing to have a brother, and brother, and Jim knows this. His brother, and brother Mark talks about it often. What a blessing that is to have a brother in Christ who is your flesh and blood. That's a blessing in itself. But in the Gunnels, what a blessing that is to have brothers. I mean, that's a privilege, and we need to praise the Lord for those privileges like that. But this morning I want to look and just think a little bit about baptism. You know, what happens to a person when they're baptized? And some things that we're all familiar with, but we need to be reminded of, know well, you know, because there's a lot of crazy ideas about baptism, what it does in the world today. And some people don't even find it any significance at all. Some people are, you know, think it has something to do with salvation. And so we want to just be, always be grounded and reminded of what baptism is, and just know those foundational truths, that we're able to share those things with other people. And obviously that's part of our testimony. That's part of our that's our profession of faith to the world, that we are baptized and we're professing our faith in Christ. We're united with His body, the church. And but we want to look at some of those thoughts this morning. Galatians chapter 3, and we'll look in verses 26 down through 28. It says, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." So again, what happens to a person when they're baptized? Many today, again, don't quite understand what baptism is at all, what it's all about. And today we want to look and just be reminded of what baptism is, and have clearly be reminded of baptism from the Bible. But first of all, number one, when a person is baptized, they profess their faith in Christ. I mean, that is the most basic understanding of baptism. What are we doing? We're professing our faith in Christ. We're professing that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, that He died for me, that He was buried and He rose again, and that I'm trusting in His death, burial, and resurrection. You know, and so we are professing that faith in Jesus Christ. And we show to others by baptism what Jesus has already done for us. You know, and I like to bring that out. One thing about baptism, a lot of times it's nice, is sometimes that's one of the only times you can get somebody's family to come to church. You know, they'll come for somebody's baptism, and it's a great opportunity to explain that baptism is something that happens after salvation. You see, something happened in this person's life, and you can, you know, and if they've had any time at all to be able to, especially around their family, they can see that something has happened to this person. Something's happened to this person I've known all their life. That something wonderful has happened in their life, and they can see that already. And so it's a wonderful opportunity to explain the fact that there's nothing special about the water. It's just ordinary water. You know, I explained in the last baptism that it's the same water that runs through the city of Cadillac and all the houses and all the faucets, and it's being used for all these different kinds of things. It's just water. It's nothing special about the water. It's just water, and that's all it is. And that water, it doesn't have anything magical. It doesn't have anything, nothing. That water's not going to change you in any way, other than it's going to get you wet, okay? But you are professing through that baptism your faith in Christ, and you are showing in a picture the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and you're showing in a picture your own death, burial, and resurrection. You're dead to the old life, and you have a new life in Christ. And so you're professing that, and it's a wonderful opportunity, as baptism is supposed to be. It's an opportunity to show You know, that's what we say in baptism. So, and that's something that I really try to stress and try to instruct people in when they're coming for baptism, that you're making a very serious commitment here. You're making a commitment to Christ and to be a faithful member of His church body. You're covenanting together with His church, and that's a very serious thing. And you're saying that I'm going to live for Him, that I am dead to the old life and I'm going to live for Him. I mean, that's a serious commitment that we make before the Lord in our baptism. And so, that's something that's important to understand. Even as we sang that song, as you're all on the altar, I don't know about you, but songs like that always convict me every time, because I know, I mean, we all, if we're honest and we look in our lives, we all know that there are things in our lives that probably aren't on the altar. Well, okay, most of it's on the altar, but there's a few things I want to just keep off the altar, you know. And the song says we'll never be we blessed and have peace and sweet rest. We'll never rest when we're worrying and trying to hold on to something that the Lord wants. We're wrestling and we're holding it. You know, we can't have rest. But we'll have rest, and we blessed and have that that rest as we lay it on the altar. As hard as that is, and as much as sometimes we may not want to lay it on the altar. If the Lord wants it, He'll take it to the altar anyway. So we just need to bring our whole life to Him and say, Lord, it's Yours. And it's hard. I mean, there's things that we want in our life. I'm guessing getting off on a thought, but I guess the Lord's giving it to me. So, maybe there are things in your life that say, you know what, I really like to have that, or I really like to keep that. Well, you need to keep that in perspective and say, you know what, you need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I would like to have this. I would like to keep it, but it's Yours. And you know what's best for me. And you have to lay that on the altar in that way. Lord, you know what's best for me. If this is good for me, Lord, I would like it. But if it's not, take it away. And that's the attitude we need to have in everything in our life. If this is good for me, Lord, I would like to have it, but I don't know what's best for me, Lord. And if you know what's best for me, take it from me. If it's going to be bad for me, if it's going to be bad for my family, it's going to be bad for my home. So, getting back to the thought of baptism, in baptism, we are saying that we are submitting to the will of Christ for our life. We are saying that we are, that we are dead to self and we are going to live for Him. And we are identifying with Christ. But and we intend to follow Him wherever He leads. We sing in that song, "Where He Leads, I'll Follow." Are we sure? Again, we sing Him and we say it. But when the time comes, are we really ready to follow Him and follow His leadership? And those are honest questions, and we all know that. We know ourselves. We know that we have difficulty. We know we struggle. We know we're weak. We know we have those difficulties that we deal with. So, when we sing those songs, think about it. Think about it. Are we laying on the altar? Are we going to follow Him wherever He leads? But in baptism, you remember, those of you that are saved and baptized members of the church, you remember the love, the zeal, the devotion. You remember. Go back to that and remember that's the same today as it was the day that you were baptized. That's the same today. That commitment, that desire to follow the Lord, that desire to be united with Him, that's the same today, and it ought to be. but we notice again that, let's go back there to Galatians for a minute, Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verses 26 down again through 27 there. Again, it says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." See that? I mean, that's clear. That's how you become a child of God. It's by faith in Christ Jesus. And then in verse 27, "For as many of you," so not all of them apparently, but "for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." So you've put on that identity of Christ. You said, you've publicly professed that, and you've identified with Him. By faith we become children of God, and by baptism we put on Christ. We put on that identity and become Christians in the truest sense of the word. Just like, again, okay, so you've put on the identity of Christ, and you have a profession of, okay, I'm a child of God. I'm trusting in Christ as my Savior, and I've been baptized, professing my faith in Him, professing my desire to follow Him, being united with His church. And so you've put on this testimony of Christ. You put on His identity, and we carry that in the world. What's the light that we're shining? Well, it isn't us. The light that we shine in the world is Christ, And so that's why the testimony is so important, because we are carrying the name of Christ with us wherever we go. We need to do an above average job of that. Because in the world, there's so many that have a profession of Christ, and they're carrying his name all around, and people have an idea of Christians that's pretty bad, you know. And so we've got to work doubly hard to be, you know, to raise the standard in people's minds. This is what Christianity really looks like. This is what it really means to be a Christian and a follower of Christ. This is what it really looks like. And so in our baptism, we're saying, I'm identifying with Christ, I'm a follower of him, and that's a responsibility to uphold that testimony of Christ in the world. Thirdly, when a person is baptized, they obey Christ's commands. Command for believers to be baptized. You know, that's something that he commanded in Matthew 28. Let's look there a minute. Matthew 28, and we'll look in verses 16 through 20 there. And again, it's always important to point out in Matthew 28, who's being spoken to here? Who's the commission given to here? People call it the Great Commission. Well, I call it the Church Commission because it was given to the church. You know, it wasn't just given to believers in general. It was given to the church under church authority. And so we need to understand that this commission to teach and to instruct people in the gospel and in the things of the Lord. This is something that he authorized his church to do, and it's a church commission. So verse 16 there, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And obviously that's significant. He's saying, all power is given unto me. He's saying, I have all right and all ability to send you to do this. I am authorizing you by my right, by my power, by my person, I am sending you. So all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, obviously goes back to the power. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So we see this commission, that baptism is part of this commission that he gave to his church, part of mission work, part of taking the gospel to the world and seeing churches established and seeing that process go on of church perpetuity. We see that there in this. So baptism is a command. It's not it's not something that is optional, really. It's something that if you're a child of God, you ought to be baptized and unite with one of the Lord's churches. I mean, that's not something that's like, well, you can do that if you want or not, or, if you feel like it, it's in the Word of God. It's something that you ought to do if you're a believer. If you're a child of God and you know the truth, you know where the Lord's church is, you ought to be baptized and united to one of the Lord's churches. But So Christ commanded and authorized his church to baptize believers. Therefore, all who have truly been saved should submit to scriptural baptism through the administration of Christ's New Testament Baptist Church. And so we see that when a person is baptized, they are being obedient to that command. The next thing we want to notice is that when a person is baptized, they become a member of the body of Christ, the church. I mean, that is the practical function of baptism. You are baptized into the body of Christ and into all of those blessings and all of those benefits and all of those responsibilities of church membership. And that's one of the tremendous blessings of baptism is church membership. So when a person is baptized, they are joined to the body of Christ by whom they receive their baptism. Let's look in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. It says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So we see this addition. The addition here to those that were already the church, already functioning, already operating as a church. And on that day, 3,000 souls were added unto that number. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So we see that we are added. We are added to the church through baptism. 1 Corinthians 12. verses 12 and 13 there, it says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. That is by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. And then verses 18 says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him." And then in verse 28, "And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues." And so we see that, again, that baptism, when a person is baptized, that they are added to the body of Christ. Obviously, one of the greatest blessings that we have as a child of God is to be a part of one of the Lord's churches. I mean, that is where we are fed, where we're taught. I mean, you know people that you're pretty confident that are saved out there. You know, you're pretty confident they're a child of God, as we read about. But you also see in their life there's a whole lot of things missing. There's a whole lot of problems. There's a whole lot of difficulty. There's a whole lot of things that are lacking in their understanding of the things of God. You know, because they're missing out on all the benefits and the blessings of being taught and instructed. The rest of the commission there that we see about in Matthew 28, that teaching the all things, you know, that happens after baptism, and that happens after you've been made part of a member of one of the Lord's churches, and you're receiving that teaching and that instruction and that edification and that building up, as we read about in Ephesians 4 there. You know, and you see that out there. That's missing. That's missing. You know, it talks about in Ephesians 4 about you know, how that we're built up and then we grow in the truth of God's word, and that we're no longer you know, children driven with the wind and tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. That's why you see this mess of Christianity out there. You know, obviously, you know, it's like in the Old Testament. You had the mixed multitude. You know, you have the mixed multitude. You have some that are lost and some that are probably saved, but they just you know, they're not part of the Lord's church. They don't have those that structure in their life, that teaching. And so there's this big mess out there. You know, and so we need to realize what a blessing it is to be a part of what we see there in the New Testament, to be a part of that church, to be a part of those blessings. And baptism is an entrance into those things, into the blessings that are in the Lord's church. And you know, we need to be always thankful for that, you know, that the Lord added. You know, we see that the Lord adds. It wasn't because we were smarter than the next guy. You know, it wasn't because we could add it up and figure it out. Say, hey, this is the way to go. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I'm figuring this out. No, it was the Lord that did that. He added. You know, he drew. He's the one that drew you to those things. He's the one that put a love for truth in your heart. And that's the one thing I always tell people about what makes, you know, what's the heart of a Baptist? He loves the truth. You know, he loves the truth. He's drawn to it. He wants to know, what's the Bible say? What's the Bible say? And what's the Bible say to me? How do I apply this to my life? He wants to know the Bible. And he wants to know the truth. He doesn't care about the religious feel-good stuff. He doesn't care about all those things. I want to know what the Bible says. You know, tell me what the Bible says. Teach me the Bible. And that's really what God puts in your heart. And he draws you to that. And that should be what it is that you are drawn to. What are you drawn to as you come to church today? What are you drawn to in the, you know, as you come and as you're weekly, you know, as a member of this church at Mount Morris? What is it that draws you? It should be the desire to follow the Lord. It should be the hunger for truth, and it should be that which continually draws you, and you have this desire for. And then obviously that goes back into the testimony of sharing that what you have learned and sharing those wonderful blessings that the Lord has made known to you, and you make that known to other people. You know, a desire for them also to have those blessings in their life. So in baptism we are brought into one of the greatest blessings that a person can know. One of the greatest earthly blessings. I mean, really, what greater blessing is there for a child of God than to be a member of one of the Lord's churches? To have the blessings of that in their life. Listen, our lives would be a mess if we didn't have that blessing in our lives. And so we need to be reminded of that often, of what a blessing that is to be a member of one of the Lord's churches. And it is through scriptural baptism that we are united and we are added to the body of Christ. And then the fourth and last thought, when a person is baptized, they enter into the responsibilities and privileges of church membership. Okay, so we are united with that body, and we enter into those responsibilities and privileges. You know, there are privileges, and we think about the privileges, and we think about the blessings, but there are responsibilities, you know. We have a covenant, you know, that we've covenanted together to be responsible for, you know, as church members. And so we have a covenant to uphold to God, to our family, to one another, You know, and so we stand accountable to God as we've covenanted together as one body in Christ, being led of the Spirit, you know. And so we have those responsibilities to uphold before God. So but again there, let's look in Matthew 28. You know, and again, what is the heart? You know, what is the heart of our responsibility? Well, it is the commission that we find in Matthew 28, and to do those things which the Lord gave us to do. And again, there we're reading verses 16 through 20 there. Well, we'll read in verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. You know, that's that testimony part. That's that part of opening your mouth when we have the opportunity. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now obviously, we understand that's part of the church commission, because you can't do that. You can't just, okay, well now I've told them the gospel and I think they're saved, and so now let's just go down to the pond or the river, and you can't do that. You know, it's a church commission. It's church authority. It comes before the church, and the church votes on that, you know, by the recommendation of the pastor. And obviously, you know, you just can't just go do that. I make fun sometimes of, I know you've probably seen Duck Dynasty there, and old Phil Robertson, and he's always talking about, well, we'll just go down to the river, you know, and, well, Phil, you can't do that. I'm sorry. He needs authority, you know. Just as much as I can't, you know, write anybody here a speeding ticket, because I don't have any authority. It won't stick. It's not valid. You know, I could give, you know, I made mention of this, you know, during my brother's baptism, that it has to have authority to be valid. And, you know, I could hold, like, concealed weapons classes or something, and I could get all the paperwork, and I could get all that, and I could, you could all pay me, you know, $100, and I could instruct you, and I could teach you everything, and I could make us a real nice looking little cards or whatever, and I could sign it and give it to you, but it's not worth anything. Totally invalid. It can look just like it. It could be that, you know, look like the real thing, but it's absolutely worthless, because it doesn't have the authority. There's nothing that backs it, you know. And so that's baptism. It has to have the authority. It has to have that all power is given unto me, go ye therefore, you see. And it has to be part of that commission that we see there. But we've been brought into the responsibilities and privileges of the church through that scriptural baptism. And obviously this includes the fulfilling of the church commission. Listen, this is a church commission. Not a one of us can individually fulfill that. We fulfill it as a church. We fulfill that. You know, we all go out and we teach. We all go out and we witness. You know, and when people are saved, then we get them to church. They come and they sit under the teaching, the preaching. And if the Lord leads and He adds, then they'll be baptized and they'll be added, and then they'll continue in that instruction. Those all things that we see there. And so, you know, we see how that has to work as a church, and we all have to be, you know, doing our part in that commission. But we have a responsibility to that commission, not only to that, but to the, you know, to the things that we've covenanted together to do. But there are certainly privileges and responsibilities. Obviously, one of the greatest privileges is to be a part of the bride of Christ. You know, if the Lord's added you, then you're part of the greatest eternal privilege that there is. There is no higher privilege than to be a part of the bride of Christ. And what a blessing. You know, and again, that's because the Lord worked in your heart. It wasn't because you were smarter than anybody. It wasn't because, you know, you're better than anybody, but it was because the Lord worked that into your heart. He drew you. He added you. He worked that grace in your life. And it wasn't, you know, wasn't anything that you did. Just like salvation wasn't anything that you did. Your part in the bride, your part in the membership of the Lord's church, that's nothing you did. That's something that the Lord did through Christ. And so what a blessing that is. But we're going to kind of sum these things up in a way that we've heard it many times, but there are four requirements for scriptural baptism. In other words, that baptism would be valid and pleasing before God. There has to be a proper candidate. It has to be a saved believer in Christ. There has to be a proper mode. It needs to be a burial in water. No other way of man will do. That has to be has to picture the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and the death and the resurrection of the believer in Christ. It needs to picture that. It needs to be a burial, like we see in Romans chapter 6. There has to be a proper motive. In other words, baptism can't be for anything other than a profession of faith. You know, to declare your allegiance to Christ, to be united to the church, there has to be a proper motive. It can't be in any way in your mind salvational, you know, as people think it is. But there has to be a proper motive to profess your faith in Christ and to identify yourself with Christ in His church. And then the last thing, a proper administrator. There has to be a New Testament Baptist church authorized according to the church commission of Matthew 28. It can't be, you can't just, see, baptism is something that's received. You know, you can't baptize yourself, and you have to receive it by the authority of Christ through his church. Immersion or sprinkling or anything you want to call it is just getting wet. And that's all it is. And that's all the more, authority or validity it has in heaven. You know, Jesus said that, in Matthew 16:18, in Matthew 18, he also said, but whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. You know, it's recognized in heaven. It's the things that the church does is recognized. It's valid, you see. And outside of that, it's not valid. And that's what we're talking about. Authority is all about, authorization is all about. But to have a baptism that's pleasing to the Lord, it has to have that authority. But I'll stop with that. And Brother Larry, would you dismiss us in prayer?